Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Likewise.
And we are getting into the subject this week of kind of the nitty-gritty of what you do, which obviously is estate planning.
Yes.
And you use two main vehicles to do that, and that's the will or the trust. And you're going to do a side-by-side comparison of what you can and can't accomplish with these two instruments.
Yeah, that is pretty much the basis of all estate planning. Mm-hmm. Any estate planner has two major tools in their toolkit, mm-hmm. which is a will or a trust. So a will is a document that is a little bit more rudimentary in most cases. It lists where things are to go. It gives court instructions, and it does some things very, very well. A trust is an instrument that is more of like a holding container. It's something that we can use during our lifetime as well as assist with a transition when someone passes away, because all the assets are in the name of the trust. So in essence, the trust never dies, even though I die. The trust itself doesn't. Mm. So a will is a document that enacts at somebody's death. However, a trust is a document that can be used both during lifetime and assists at somebody's passing. Mm. So these are the two base tools that any estate planner has at their disposal.
Mm-hmm. Now, the will, you've heard of wills for many years. Is a trust a more recent development in estate planning, or has trust been around just as long?
No, they've been around forever. Mm-hmm. It's just that trusts have really taken on a different life over the past 20 to 30 years, mm-hmm. to where specifically from before the 2000s, trusts were really looked at as something for just tax provisions, or if you had a lot of money to control your kids. And so there is a misnomer concerning trusts that it's just for the rich and famous, or you have to have a certain amount of assets in order to properly use a trust. Now, over the past 20 plus years, that has really become not the case, I guess, is a better way to say it. It's just simply a trust is a more common instrument today that is more widely used in all of estate planning. Mm. And of course, a will has always been there. Right. And a will has been a tried and true document, a way of doing estate planning. And wills are still used today, as probably all listeners understand. So trusts are something that are more common nowadays than what they used to be in the past, because they're more expression at now of how to care for somebody and transition wealth versus just being a tax document. Mm-hmm. And so that's been some of the transition with trusts over the past years.
Mm-hmm. Well, then let's look at some of these side-by-side comparisons. People have certain goals they want to accomplish at their passing, or like you say, maybe even while they're still alive, if they mm-hmm. become incapacitated. One of the questions, the obvious ones, is I want to get everything to my spouse or kids when I die.
Right. And so here's kind of the good news, is that a will or a trust can accomplish that purpose. And so that is obviously maybe almost an unspoken expectation is, well, of course I want to get my money to where it's supposed to go. Mm-hmm. And so a will, then in the will, most married couples would then first say, I want to leave everything to my spouse. So what a will does is that a will take all of your assets and it will simply give it to the individual. In other words, it puts it in their personal name. So if you receive out of a will, then I would take an inheritance. I would open up a new account and I would open it up under my social security number, under my personal name. So therefore, it is truly just my money. And I have full, absolute, complete control over it. Now, there are some benefits to that and there's some negatives to that, but we'll kind of flush those out in just a moment.
Okay.
So a trust can do exactly the same thing, which is a trust, though, as a holding container of your assets. It can likewise name who is supposed to be your beneficiary. The trust, on the other hand, can do one of many things. There's just not two things, but two basic things, which is number one, it can write a check to someone exactly like the will did. So it can make an outright distribution, meaning we're going to put it in their name, in their social security number. It's outright. It goes out of the trust and it is no longer associated with the trust. Or a trust can hold the assets for the benefit of somebody. So we can still get it to the proper individual. But the question is, with a trust, we have more options as far as, do we just simply give it to them, or do we need to manage it or caretake it? And that management and caretaking can be for multiple purposes. It could be because the individual can't manage money. It can be because they need to have specific payments over time. It's because there's tax issues. So yes, either instrument does a fabulous job of getting money to the right people. And by the way, there is one thing that we've actually forgot to mention, which is if you don't do anything, if you don't have one of these tools
That was going to be my question.
Yeah, then,
will this happen if you don't have anything?
Yeah. Or correct. What you mean by
Don't most states give it to the spouse, whoever they're married to, initially?
There's a pecking order. Okay. And so, yes, that's the assumption. Mm-hmm. But that assumption could be wrong if you're in a second marriage with a blended family. Mm-hmm. And so, so the decedent's children potentially have rights over some of that money versus it just simply going to the spouse. So there's assumptions that we make if we don't do any planning at all. Mm. And so the first issue in all of this conversation is that you need to do some sort of planning. And so just letting the law itself dictate what you do is a bad plan. Mm. By the way, it is a plan. Mm.
So it's a plan of half the population use.
Well, correct. You're absolutely right.
You've said that before in some of your other shows.
Yes, that's right, which is that most people actually default to just saying, whatever Washington State has determined is best for me and my family, Washington State knows best. Mm. Well, that is doing the nothing plan. Mm-hmm. And so so I would probably suggest that Washington State does not know what is best for your family, nor for you. And so, therefore, my first call to action is you need some type of plan. You have to do something. So get off your rusty dusty and actually put something in motion, please. And also, the other thing then let's quickly look at is how old are your documents? So most estate planners, most banking institutions don't want documents more than 3 to 5 years old. So if you did estate planning 20 years ago when your kids were teenagers and now they're in their upper 20s or they're their 30s and they're still going to your sister as a guardian, well, I think your plan might be a little bit out of date. So we might want to address that. There's always changes in the law and in taxes and in your family and financial situation that a good plan needs to be updated consistently. So there's our call to action, which is do something is what this whole show is premised off of, is that you're going to actually take a step to do a will or to do a trust, do some type of planning. Because no planning is the worst option you can do. It just means in Washington State, I trust. Mm. So if that is your mantra, perfect. Don't do anything. If it's not, then we need to do something. So so out of the gate, we have two tools that can accomplish getting your assets to the proper people. Both of them work equally as well to get it to the right person, but you have to use one of those instruments to get it to the right people. So therefore, we need to do planning, and yep, we can accomplish getting it to whomever you desire out of either instrument.
Okay, well, let's move to another idea here. I want to get, for instance, my wedding ring to go to my granddaughter. So a very specific item going to a very specific person. How does that work with the two tools?
And so, that's a very common thing, is that we have something that is in our possession that we go, this is very valuable to me. It may not be as valuable monetarily as it is emotionally, or have heritage around it, that we want to make sure that that family line continues. And so you have a desire to get something very specific to an individual. So therefore, yes, both instruments can accomplish this purpose as well, which is that it's called a specific gift. And how a specific gift works is that we look at those first. So when someone passes away, we would go to their will instrument, or we would go to their trust instrument, which means you did something, so that's good. Mm-hmm. And we would actually look at what is in that document to say, did the person who just passed away, so did the creator of this document, have a specific desire? Now, in my system, if you come into a relationship with the firm, an ongoing relationship, then I would tend to guide somebody to say, if this is something that you know you want. In other words, you're not going to come back to me next year and go, you know what, I changed my mind. My granddaughter is being a little pill, and so we're going to give it over now back to my daughter instead of that, or I'm going to give it to my neighbor. So in other words, if this item is going to change hands, or if you just can't make up your mind, then it's probably a very bad place to put it into your will or into your trust document. Mm. There's other ways that we can accomplish that same task if the will and if the trust are created properly. And it's called a personal memorandum, so a personal tangible memorandum. So there's multiple names, but in other words, personal property, tangible items that are not in accounts, you can make a list. And if indeed your will or your trust say, hey, if I created this next document, this ancillary, this side document, then I want it to be incorporated into this will, or I want it to be incorporated into the trust, and I would like you to follow it. So the personal representative, which is the name of who closes your will, or my successor trustee, which is who manages your trust, if you find this document that I've taken time to create, and it's in my handwriting, and I've named a specific item going to a specific person, and I've signed and dated it. If you find this document, I want you to honor it as though it is incorporated, or it is the same document as what you're looking at. And so it's a document by incorporation. And so it means to look at that document as though it is the legal verbiage of what I am giving within my will. So what we can do is we can, on the side, make a side document and tell someone exactly what the item is. So here's where we go wrong, which is the painting on the wall. Okay, well, which painting on the wall? So if little Susie was supposed to get the painting on the wall, I may look at that and go, well, Susie's getting every painting on the wall, because we weren't specific enough. Mm. But if it's the velvet painting of Elvis on the wall, then we know exactly what you're talking about. So in other words, if it's identifiable, clearly identifiable, and it goes to a very specific person, and you have signed and dated that document. So in other words, if we find it in your computer, then it's not legally attachable.
How about take a picture of it?
Yeah, and so there's a lot of ways that people actually identify the object. So any type of identification, take a picture and say exhibit one of the vase goes to Susie, and now you're creating a list and you're adding these exhibits, or you're adding these additional identifiable objects so that we know exactly what you're doing. Fantastic. And by the way, most family members are going to honor that. Most family members want to do what the decedent desired. Mm. But let me tell you, those lists sometimes disappear. Those lists, whether it's intentional or unintentional, those lists tend to even have arguments of what exactly was done. Mm. And then it's really the items that are left off the list that become the issue. Mm. So making this list could actually save your estate a lot of angst and a lot of problems. But it has to be incorporated into your will or your trust. And yes, it's a great plan of attack to save your family. Well, who wants this and who wants that? And it's funny how it's the personal stuff. Look, I can divide a bank account by two or by three or by four, by however many kids you have or how many beneficiaries you have. That's simple math. And nobody argues with math, but they will argue over the vase that came from grandma.
Right.
And no, mom said. Well, no, dad said. Well, no, grandma told me. And so when people are emotional and they've lost someone they love, it's amazing at how attached they become to something that they were never attached to before.
Hmm.
And so so giving clear direction in this area, as a matter of fact, what I've watched, more animosity and more arguments start off of the personal stuff than anything in an estate plan, even by kids being disinherited or even by kids being treated differently in a clear document. That might hurt their feelings for a moment, but it doesn't cause the arguments as what the personal property does. So if you want to do some good planning, then make sure that you deal with your stuff. And so meaning your personal stuff, the tangible stuff that you're looking at, the bracelet, the rings, the paintings, the vases. It's amazing how that becomes the point of contention. But you can make sure that you reference them and make sure that this memorandum is incorporated into your will or your trust. And then both of those documents would take over and do a fantastic job of getting your personal stuff to your beneficiaries as you see fit.
Okay, looking at the side-by-side comparison this week of a will or a trust, which does what you want it to do. We will be taking a break here. And if people are interested, they want to find out more about your firm, how do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's ways to communicate with us and upcoming educational opportunities. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS, and I am inviting you to come out to a workshop about estate planning that I'm going to be hosting in person at Venture Church in Mill Creek. You can head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com, and find out more information, but it is going to be on Wednesday, September 1st at 7 p.m., again, at Venture Church. So head over, legacyandfaith.com, sign up for our educational workshop, meet me in person, and we're going to have an awesome time. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswordtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswordtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant this week, looking at a side-by-side comparison of a will or a trust. Do they work the same way? Do they accomplish what you want them to do? And moving on to one of the scenarios here is, I want to avoid probate and the court system.
Yeah.
Which one of these instruments works best for that?
Well, people want to avoid the legal hassle after they pass away. And so believe it or not, this might come as a shock to you, Mark, because you've been listening to me for quite some time. I can make either instrument avoid the legal process.
Hmm. Either instrument.
Yes, okay. But they are just a different way of accomplishing it. So let's take a look. And look, if that was your primary or only goal, then what I'm about to tell you would work brilliantly. However, most people have multiple goals. So the difficulty of having one question be answered at a specific time and doing a comparison is that most individuals have multiple things they want to accomplish, not just one thing in a bubble. However, avoiding probate, avoiding the court system, is what a lot of people want to make sure happens. So is that possible with a will, or is it only possible with a trust? Well, let me take what I think many people understand that a trust can do. A trust is the preferred instrument to avoid probate. Now, why is that? Because when I develop a trust, it really becomes an entity of its own. So what we do is that we put your assets, we retitle assets to be in the name of the trust. So when the trust maker or the creator of the trust dies, they pass away, but the trust continues on to accomplish the next step. So in other words, the trust didn't die. So because the trust didn't die, we can look at its instructions and we can continue to follow them without court interference. Now, let's talk about one thing with court interference. I can never control a beneficiary. I can't control a creditor. So if you have not paid your bills, or if you have large credit card debts, or if you spent a long period of time in the hospital before you passed away, there will be bills that come to your estate, and I can't control those people. So therefore, someone could sue the estate and force us into the court system. Therefore, I cannot guarantee that anyone evade the court system. However, if all of those factors were to disappear and we had a clean estate to walk through, a trust is the preferred instrument. Why? Because the trust did not die. The creator died, and now, because a trust is a contract, the contract remains and continues forward, and without court interference, we can actually transfer property by the instructions of the trust without first going to the court system. Now, that's different in a will scenario. Most wills then need to have a court verify that the will is actually the original, and then have a court order putting in the personal representative with legal authority. Okay? So the probate system with a will is different. This is because the will is a death document only. It was not it didn't have a life source. It was not a living document during the creator's lifetime. It only is enacted at death. And because that is the nature of a will, then it must be given to a court system to authenticate it, that indeed we are going to accept as a society through the legal system that this is authentic and that this person is going to be empowered with the signatory rights of the decedent. So why do we need the court system? Because if you die with an asset in your personal name, and we need to get it to the beneficiary, someone's going to have to sign off that transfer is valid. Okay, so that's what we're doing. We have to have a valid signature to transfer the documents. Well, in a trust circumstance, the successor trustee by law takes over, and they have the power to sign on behalf of the trust because the trust never died. But in a will situation, we need to have a valid legal signature for the decedent. So think of a power of attorney. A power of attorney is a document that you use during your lifetime that you say, if this person signs my name, it's as if I'm signing it. Okay? But a power of attorney immediately ends at somebody's passing, so it does not continue the next day. So therefore, if that ends, who has the legal authority to sign the decedent's name. Well, that's why we need the probate system. So in other words, a will is a power of attorney for someone who's passed away. Mm. So a power of attorney, financial power of attorney, is for someone's lifetime. A will is for somebody's passing. Now, I told you that we could actually develop a system that would allow us to not go through that. So it's a little more difficult in a will scenario, but it's possible, which is, number one, if you have beneficiaries listed on your account, so if you have on your banking system, if you have on your investments, your 401k, if you have a beneficiary designation, by law, that's a contract with the investment company or with the financial institution, and they are required to follow those instructions. So therefore, they would write a check to the beneficiary by law. So that doesn't need a court preview. Now, we also have something about 3 years ago that Washington State did, which is a beneficiary deed. So therefore, we can create a deed now for a home and name a beneficiary so that immediately upon passing, the beneficiaries would be the legal owners. So is it possible actually to develop all of your assets so that they don't go through the probate process with a will? The answer is yes. It's a little more work to stay on top of than what a trust could be, but both instruments, believe it or not, could actually avoid the probate process.
I didn't know that. Okay, well, this is a very interesting discussion. We have by no means exhausted it. The side-by-side comparison of wills and trusts, what they can and can't accomplish. So far, so good as far as both doing what you want.
That's right.
I guess we'll probably run into a few snags here and there as we proceed.
Maybe on our next show, yeah.
Okay. People are interested. They want to find out more on how you can help them. How do they do that, Paul?
Well, number one, come back to our next discussion. It's they're always Wednesday at 1 o'clock, Saturday at 10 a.m. And so be sure to connect back to the radio show on KCIS. And then also, you can head over to my website at legacyandfaith.com. There's more information there. Past podcasts are posted there as well. So head over to our website at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.